Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ, 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The churches of Christ are those local autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. Father in heaven, mighty God, King of the universe, what a privilege and honor it is to come together to worship you today, the one and only true God. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, this wonderful day. Thank you for life. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these facilities that we have in the inner city that we can serve the poor. We pray for our ministry here serving the poor, and we pray for those that are come to help us serve the poor today, the Shawnee Trail congregation, that you might bless them. Please continue to bless our radio ministry that goes out from here to all the earth. Please continue to bless our website and keep it free from hackers, and we thank you for all the responses that we get to that. Thank you, Father, for our feeding ministry and our ability to feed the poor here, and for the work that William does during the week in his class and feeding the poor. Thank you, Father, for our jail chaplains and our hospital chaplains and all those that work and serve through this place. We credit it as being a work of God, and we thank you very much for doing this through us and using us in this way. Have mercy on us, we pray, and thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. We'd like to ask our jail chaplain to come give us a jail report. Eddie, tell us about the jail. Are they still got bars down there?
Yeah, they still got bars and doors that lock.
Yeah, doors are still locked, all right.
Yeah, so but we still get in and we still get out, thank the Lord.
Amen.
But, you know, not a whole bunch changed lately, but we're still going in and doing what we can do. I think last Sunday I forgot to send the email because I didn't get around to it until Friday. I figured by then it's too late to get in the bulletin, but we had a grand total of baptism last Sunday of one.
Amen.
So we appreciate that, and y'all just continue to keep us in prayer that one will be able to go forward and do more than we've done.
Amen. And Eddie has been taught and baptized. Him and that ministry has taught and baptized 19,000 since 1998. Isn't that amazing? 19,000 since 1998. We want to thank the Shawnee Trail congregation that are here this morning visiting, trying to help us feed the poor and so forth. And, you know, it's really not about us here. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're a poor inner city congregation feeding the poor and broadcasting the gospel to all the earth. We have 21 international broadcasts going out to all the world from this place right now today. So when you come here, Shawnee Trail, as a missionary, you're just not being a missionary here to Main Street Church of Christ and feeding the poor. We're going out from here with the Bible, with God's Word, to the entire earth. Over four times we cover the entire earth. And so we'd encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. That's www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons. We'd encourage you to get on there and get an education in the Bible. Most of you will find it odd, but we're going to be reading this morning from the King James translation of the Bible. Whether you know it or not, there are 6,150,000,000 Bibles in the world, the vast majority of them being the King James translation of the Bible. Every request that I get for a Bible from Africa or anywhere else in the world, they always want a King James translation of the Bible. I wonder why. Well, it's the Bible of their parents, of their fathers and their forefathers, and it reads just like them. So I'm really not reading for you today. I'm reading for the millions and millions out there in the radio audience that's going to be listening to this message. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1, we're going to study Genesis 1, John 1, and Hebrews 1 in the beginning. All three of those deal with the beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If we assume that the Bible is what it says and what it appears to be, and study its books to know their contents, we'll find a whole series of books that bear on the face of it the stamp of its author, God. We'll learn that the Bible is a unique and distinctive way the Word of God. As Peter says, for prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That moved there means carried along is what that word means. And so since the Enlightened movement began in the 1800s, the present day view held rather widely among university and college circles is that the Bible is sort of an age-long story of man's efforts to find God, a record of man's experiences reaching after God, gradually improving his ideas by building upon the experiences of the previous generation. When it is said God spoke, they say, well, God really didn't speak, but men put their ideas in language professing to be the words of God, while in reality, it's only what men imagined about God. Thus, the Bible is reduced in their thinking to appear not as a divine book, but as a human book, pretending to be divine. In other words, a bald-faced lie. So when you send your kids to a Bible college and something, if they're liberal and they don't believe in the Bible, they're going to be taught this kind of stuff, that the Bible just really is a human book pretending to be divine. While we know better, we know it's the very Word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished all good works." We reject the human theory that the Bible is just human. We believe the Bible to be an account of God's efforts to reveal Himself to man, and God's own record of His dealings with men. The Bible is thus the unfolding revelation of God Himself to humanity. The Bible teaches that God Himself directed and dictated the writings of the Bible, which is a book with human authors, so completely under the control of God that the writing can be said to be God's own words. The Bible is composed of many authors over a period of many centuries, yet one book. And it's the outstanding miracle of that book, is the unity of it over many centuries. In Genesis 1, this marvelous chapter is not history because it precedes information concerning the events and it antedates all history. It is not a myth because it carries within it the credibility never belonging to a myth. It's not science because it deals with the beginnings, which no science has ever attempted to describe other than the Big Bang Theory. It is inspiration. It is revelation from Almighty God Himself, and the highest and best intelligence of all ages has so received it and so accepted it. This chapter contains and presents to human intelligence the only believable account of creation to come down to us from history. Human minds have never read any other believable account. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning does not mean that there was nothing before that event, before in the beginning. Because Jesus says that there was love between the Father and the Son before in the beginning, John 17:24. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." And John 17:5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was." So there was love between the Father and the Son before in the beginning, and there was glory between the Father and Son before in the beginning. In Titus 1:2, it says, "In the hope of eternal life." Now, the word hope in the Bible is expectation. I know some of you bought a lottery ticket last night, in spite of me telling you not to do it, that it, the odds are, what is it, Larry? 156 million to one or something, it, the odds are astronomical. And so I know some of you might have bought a lottery ticket. That's hope. Bible hope is expectation. You expect it to happen. In the hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promise before the world began, God did this in the expectation of creating eternal life. In other words, 2 Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us." Now notice this term. We've studied it over and over again. It was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So there was a plan, and that plan was to redeem mankind in Christ Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That plan was in the mind of God before the world began. In 1 Peter 1:18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, bought back with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received from the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained. This is a foreordained plan. God had a plan before he ever created the universe. He had a foreordained plan, which verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, the last age, the Christian age, for you. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So what God has chosen us for is to set an example to the rest of the world, to let our light so shine, to be the salt of the earth, to be holy and without blame before him in love. You might be the only Bible that people will ever read. Genesis 1:1. It's not evolution, but rather a foreordained plan in the mind of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning says nothing at all about when in the beginning occurred. It just declares emphatically that there was a beginning. There is no reputable science on earth has ever denied that there was a beginning. The source of that beginning in the will and in the power of the eternal God is where it came from. God created. The word for God here is Elohim, which is a plural noun. It means more than one. It's plural. Elohim, a plural term, is the most frequent designation of God found in the Bible. It's used almost 2,000 times. Despite the plurality of the name itself, Elohim, it's connected with verbs and adjectives that are always in the singular. So you see the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right here in the first few verses of the Bible. Thus, the very first verse of the Bible, it would appear to be embedded like an embryo, the very name of God Himself, the suggestion of the Trinitarian Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the witness of the unity of that Godhead in creation. The Bible gives facts. It doesn't theorize. It doesn't philosophize. It does not speculate. The Bible opens with the doctrine of God. Without discussing the being of God, the Bible just opens with God created, from the Hebrew word bara, which is a single verb meaning to do, to make do, by divine fiat, out of nothing, everything. A command or an act of will, Webster's dictionary says, it creates something without further effort. Therefore, to make it out of nothing using no matter at all. How did God do that? Well, he tells us in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen are not made of those things that do appear. How in the world would the Bible writer know that? How would he know that everything's made out of atoms? How in the world could he have that information? It has to be inspiration and revelation. There's no other way. You know, if you believe in the Big Bang theory, they say that some matter about the size of my thumbnail exploded and became everything. Now, if you believe that, where did that first matter come from? Well, see, in the beginning takes us back beyond that. To say that God created out of nothing the primal stuff that blew up and become everything else. Who made God? Every child asks this question. Either the world has always been in existence, or it's made out of nothing, one or the other, and we can't conceive of neither one in our mind. Our galaxy contains 20 billion suns. The Milky Way is shaped like a thin watch band, and it is 200,000 light years across. It's going across the Milky Way. Yet there's hundreds of millions or even billions of galaxies. And he made all of that for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens here, there are three heavens mentioned in the Word of God. The first heaven being the atmosphere where the birds of heaven fly in Jeremiah 15:3. The heavens are the galaxies and the constellations in Isaiah 13:10. And the heaven where God dwells in Psalms 11:4. The heavens in this verse here includes the first two and perhaps others that we don't know anything at all about. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If our understanding of the heavens is correct, then the earth and all the planets would be included here also. Singling out the earth as a specific designation here would indicate God's special creation to be a repository of all life, and all human life particularly. People ask me, do you believe in spacemen? No, I don't. I think we're first. So God created us for all of that out there. This special creation of the earth did indeed occur is absolutely certain. It is attested by the utter failure of man to find life anywhere else in the universe except on the earth. Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That first clause, and the earth was out form and void. James Irwin, the eighth man to stand on the moon, stood on the moon, an astronaut, stood on the moon and looked back at the earth, and he said, I knew right then that there was a God. I'd always believed, but I knew it because I could see the utter devastation and void of everything else in the universe, and the earth, there it was, perfect. Absolutely pictured perfect, tilted on its axis by 23 degrees, giving us the seasons that we have. We have a moon that's exactly the right distance from the earth to give us tides and so forth in the water. If we were 50,000 miles closer to the sun, we'd burn up, and 50,000 miles further away, we'd freeze to death. How do you explain it? Oh, it's all chance, they tell us. Well, there's no chance whatsoever of this being chance, any more than there was a chance of a lot of things that I've seen in life. And the earth was that form and void. It states the first condition of the earth in the first phase of creation. It's also an apt description of the other planets. And darkness is upon the face of the deep. The big thing here appears to be the abundance of water supply, one of the principal prerequisites of life. This water was evidently part of the special creation benefiting our earth. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Significantly, the third person of the Godhead here appears alongside God Himself. The term moved actually means brooded or hovered, older versions say, and it means to quiver with love. God was quivering with love. The Spirit of God was upon the face of the waters, and He was looking forward to this eternal life that He was planting the seed and the genome of for us. He was looking forward to us living forever with Him. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Primeval darkness demands light at creation. The language here indicates that the act of creation was performed by fiat, by God spoke the word and it was done. And so the word of God is Jesus. The Apostle John tells us of the word of God in John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word existed before anything was formed proves that Jesus was no part of creation. He pre-existed, and therefore He was before creation and must be eternal. The word was literally, in the Greek, it says, existed the Logos, or existed the word before creation, existed the Logos. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God, proving that Jesus is not a subordinate being or second place to God. Verse 3, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 33, verse 6 tells us, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made of all the hosts of them, by the breath of His mouth. Isn't that amazing that those same words are found in Isaiah and in Thessalonians talking about the end of time? And it says, with the word of His mouth and the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked. With the word of God, everything was spoken into being, and Jesus is that word. To make, all things were made by Him, verse 3. To make is to create, is to cause a thing to come into existence, which before had no existence. Jesus is divine, spoken word of God, which created all things and has pre-existed with God from all eternity. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Not natural life, but eternal life. John tells us in 1 John 5:11. Now this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is where? In his Son. And you remember that in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world? It's always been God's plan all along, one plan. John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is both the heathen world and the Jews together. For the Old Testament prophets were a lamp and a beacon and a lighthouse to the world. Next couple of verses are about John the Baptist. We'll skip down to verse 8. And he, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Verse 9. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh to the world. Jesus Christ is the spring and the foundation that illuminates any who are being illuminated. Cometh into the world is just a rabbinic saying, means being born. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They did not acknowledge him. The Jewish rulers knew full well that he was a teacher sent from God. Immediately after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, in fulfillment of Isaiah 26, the Jews called a council. They called a table together on Jesus. And in John 11:47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees in the council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles, and if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. They should have left him alone, right? Instead, they chose to murder him. John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Those of his own creation, his own family, his own city, his own country, his own people, his own citizens, his own brethren, his own subjects, none of them received him, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as receive him, that includes you now, you're many, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that believe on his name is a synecdoche. It means that you come to Christ in the appointed way and you live a faithful life and you will be the children of God forever. The power to become the sons of God is the privilege and the honor and the dignity and the ability to become the child of God. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, but of the will of man, but of God. Born is regenerated. Jesus often repeats his obedience to the will of God. Jesus is the one that makes clear the meaning and the destiny of human existence. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That same power that said, let there be light, said, let Mary be pregnant with the power of the spoken Word of God. And Jesus Christ was born without the aid of a man, born of a virgin, just exactly as the Bible teaches. If this is above your head, you come and study with me, because all those college professors that tell you those words don't mean that, they're lying to you. Those words do mean exactly that. You know, they are so bold as to say that God used the wrong word for virgin. They say he used a Bethelol, and he should have used Amal and should have used Bethelol. And they don't even know the meaning of the word their own selves. And they never ask themselves, has God ever made that mistake before? Yes, he has. He went and called Rebecca, Isaac's wife, he went and called her a virgin. And you know what he said about her? He said, neither had she known any man. Don't tell me God doesn't understand words. He is the Word of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the apostles, even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Dwelt literally as tabernacled in his bodily house, shrine, or temple. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Moses heard his voice. The children of Israel saw a cloud by day and a fire by night, and others saw manifestations of his presence. But he who has known him before in the beginning, he has declared him to us. We can faithfully believe what Christ told us about God. He has declared him. Who created the universe? God the Word. In Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption. In whom is in Christ. In Christ we have redemption, the buyback of our sins, in other words, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Image is hidden splendor. Jesus is firstborn literally of the Creator, not creature. It's a bad translation. Only in the sense that he is the only begotten Son of the Father. Because the next verse says that he's the Creator himself. Verse 16, for by him, by Jesus, the Word of God, were all things created, whether in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God spoke all things into being by the Logos, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Before all things, Jesus existed before all things, therefore he is deity. By him, all things consist. Everything has a cause and effect. Therefore, the continuation of that power that created everything is necessary for creation to continue. God can't have lost any of his power or creation would fall apart. Jesus is thereby the preserver of the cosmos. God is just like Jesus, and Jesus is just like God. This passage we're about to read is one of the most magnificent passages in the whole Bible, having grandeur along the sides of the opening of Genesis and of John 1 that we've just read. Hebrews 1. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, all kinds of written lessons. We'd encourage you to go on there and study and get a Bible education. God, at sundry times, that means different times, and in divers manners, that divers manners means here a little, there a little. Isaiah, in Isaiah 28, he puts it together. He says, line upon line, precept upon precept. God gave some information to Moses. He gave some information to King David. He gave some information to all the prophets, to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and to all the prophets. And each one of them got a little more information, a little more information. So the revelation becomes fuller and fuller. And then finally he sends his son with a complete revelation to give us everything and then to inspire through the Holy Spirit the apostles to write us the rest of the revelation. God, who at sundry times, divers manners, spake in times past to the fathers of the Jews. How'd he do it? By the prophets. Moses was called a prophet. Aaron was called a prophet. David was a prophet. At sundry times, divers manners is literally many a time, many a part. Now, the writer, the Hebrew writer, is going to show us many reasons why Jesus should be king. Hath in his last days spoken to us by his Son. The last days to the Jews meant from the coming of Christ, about the year 34 B.C., until the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D., was the last days of the Jewish dispensation. The last days for Christians is from the cross of Christ until his second coming is the last dispensation, the church age. It's the last time that God's going to deal with man. So this is the last time. There's not going to be a new revelation given by Muhammad. There's not going to be a new revelation given by Joseph Smith. Well, prove it, preacher. Well, that's simple to do. Joseph Smith claimed that he wrote the book Mormon. But we find 570 direct quotes from the King James translation of the Bible in the Book of Mormon. How in the world did that happen? Well, the way it happened is Joseph Smith was illiterate and uneducated, and he didn't know that the italicized words in the King James translation of the Bible is not found in the original manuscripts. They were put there by the translators to help a sentence make sense. Now, isn't that amazing? How did he read minds and get those italicized words in? Well, he just read it right out of the Bible like you and I are doing. He read it right out of the King James translation of the Bible. Colossians 1:16, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God spoke all things into being by the Logos, by Jesus. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Therefore, the continuation of this power, Jesus is the preserver of the universe. God is just like Jesus. Hebrews 1:1, God at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son." How does he speak by his Son? Well, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then the Son put the Spirit on the apostles, and they wrote the other books of the Bible. Whom he has appointed heir of all things. That's why he's king. He's king by being inheritance. He is the only begotten Son of the Father. And so by inheritance he is king. And by whom also he made the worlds. He's king because he's creator, and he made the worlds through Jesus Christ. The Hebrew writer begins with the lesser words and describes Jesus and then progresses upwards. Jesus made the worlds. What is the nature of Christ? Well, he must be deity. He can't be a created being if he made the worlds. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of his glory, Jesus is just exactly like God in the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, nobody else helped him, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Glory here in the Greek refers to splendor within itself. Just as our sun has light within itself, and is not reflected splendor like our moon, Jesus has reflected splendor in himself. And it's talking about his personal excellence as a human being. He shone above all other men who ever lived. He was different. He was God in every way and in everything he did, upholding all things by the word of his power. Each atom of the 102 elements that we have consists exactly by the same three kinds of particles. There's protons, electrons, and neutrons. All of the protons and neutrons of an atom are located in the central nucleus. All of the electrons equal to the protons spin around their axis and revolve in a relatively great distance from it. Rather reminiscent of our nature of our solar system. Most of the volume of the atom is merely empty space, just as our solar system is empty space. The spinning of these fantastically small particles approaches the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, and that's been going on since creation without any interruption whatsoever. How and why does that happen? The only intelligent answer must lie in the fact that someone has commanded it. Who could that someone be but God? Our logical, inescapable conclusion is not only that creation occurred, but it was brought about by a plan that only a person endowed with supreme intelligence and knowledge and the power to bring it about and keep it running according to plan. And he is always and everywhere throughout the universe. He's omnipresence, in other words. By himself purged our sins, as he had no help in saving us whatsoever. He did it all. He bore it all on the cross. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. being made so much better than the angels. Jesus is better than the angels. The Pharisees worshiped angels. Jesus is better than the angels, as he has by inheritance, by being a son, obtained a more excellent name than they. Christianity is better than the Old Testament. Pharisees worshiped angels, but Jesus, the Son, received the inheritance. Verse 5, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Well, he didn't say it to any of the angels. And so here we have an argument of silence. If the Bible doesn't say something, it's silent about it, you can't do it. People today think, well, the Bible doesn't tell us that we can't do that. Well, the Bible doesn't tell me that I can't baptize you in whiskey this morning. The Bible doesn't tell me that I can't baptize you in ketchup this morning. The Bible doesn't tell us what all we can't do. It tells us what to do to worship God. And it lets out everything else. So you need to keep that in mind. There is such a thing as an argument of silence in the Bible. And if God didn't authorize it, then we have no reason whatsoever to do it. Hebrews 1:5, so to which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Well, he didn't say it to angels. He said that to Christ, and he said it in Psalms 2, verse 7. And again, I will be a father, and he shall be to me a son. He didn't say that to angels. He said that in 2 Samuel 7. He told King David that as a prophecy of the coming of the Christ. And so where are these things found? He did not say them, well, there's no authority whatsoever to do them. Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he bringeth in his first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. This is found in Psalms 104, verse 4. Hebrews 1:7. And of the angels he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. God makes his angels appear many different ways. You know, when I first started preaching here a little over 20 years ago, I'd been here 3 or 4 or 5 years. We were under lawsuit. I went over to a big fancy church and I asked them, I said, to help us get a lawyer, man. We need a lawyer really bad. We're about to lose the property. And my reputation had preceded me. And they said, no, no, we're not going to do nothing. We're not going to give you anything. And I went outside and so help me, I cried, man. And I don't cry very easy. And I told God, I said, I am not going to go around and beg churches for money. I'll preach the gospel to the whole world. And I didn't know what I was saying when I said that. I said, I'll preach the gospel to the whole world and I'll feed the poor, but I'm not going to go around begging for money. You got to send the money. So help me, God, that Sunday, a guy walked in here with bib coveralls on, bib coveralls, blue jean coveralls on, asked me, said, can I have a receipt for my tithe? And I said, well, I said, I could write you a receipt for any gift or offering that you might have that you wanted to give the church on our letterhead. He said, that'd be fine. And he counted me and Bernie Woods out $10,000 in $100 bills. And we got a lawyer and we saved the place. Now tell me that wasn't God. Tell me that wasn't God. You'll never make me believe that that wasn't God. And I didn't acknowledge him enough. And I'm really sorry, Father, that I really didn't. I should have got on my face on the ground right then. But I was just so happy that this place was saved, I was blinded to it. And so, you know, the word angel in the Bible is messenger. God has many messengers. Some of them are heavenly. Some of them are just people. He sent some of y'all here who are angels that are just people to help us here, and we appreciate it. So God makes his angels appear in many different ways. Hebrews 1:8, but unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Here the Hebrew writer quotes Psalms 45, verse 9. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed, has messiahed, that's what that word anointed means, has messiahed thee with the oil of gladness, and the oil of gladness is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. He has anointed thee, messiahed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Psalms 45, verse 7. Hebrews 1:10, "And thou art, O Lord, in the beginning, has laid the foundation of the earth." Here Jesus is referred to as Lord and Creator, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And so now Jesus is addressed again as Lord and Creator of the heavens and the earth. Verse 11, "They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as a garment." 12, "And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." Notice it says changed, not destroyed nor annihilated, but renewed in the Greek, made fresh as new heavens and a new earth, as Peter says. In 2 Peter 3:13, Peter says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And that word new comes from the Greek word meaning fresh, to be made fresh, not brand new. Verse 13, "To which the angel said he at any time, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool." That's taken from Psalms 110, verse 1. He never said that to angels. He only said it to his son. Verse 14, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be the heirs of salvation?" Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law rather than the administrator of the Old Testament law. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. Genesis 1:3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." When did history begin? When God the Word spoke it into being. You know, we were talking a few minutes ago about atoms and how atoms are basically made up of nothing and how all of this, everything, is mostly space. We're mostly space. God can take nothing and do anything with nothing. Isn't it amazing? The God that we worship, this is the concept of the God that we worship. He can take you and me, a nothing, and do wonders with you. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. When did history begin? When the Word of God spoke it into being. 1 Corinthians 8:6, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." So again, He is pictured as Creator. Genesis 1:8, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning was the second day." Again, the firmament here means the atmosphere. "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." Now notice that dry land was one place, and the waters was one place. And you know the waters connect everywhere. The waters connect all over the earth, and it's dry land that has broken apart and gone off and become many different continents, as we're going to study in the next few weeks. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.churchofchristpreaching.com. "And God called the dry land earth," verse 10, "and the gathering together of the waters He called the seas, and saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit trees yielding fruit after their kind, whose seed is in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seeds after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And evening and morning were the third day." Now we have land vegetation. Verse 14, "And God said, let the lights of the firmament of the heavens divide the day from the night, and let them be for a sign and seasons for days and for years." And so God took what was already made and brought it into perfect alignment at the very right distance from the sun, the very right moon spinning around it, and fixed it up just exactly like it ought to be so we could have this perfect earth that we live on. 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament, and heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." 19, and evening and morning were the fourth day. Thus the sun, the moon, and the stars became visible upon the earth. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life, and fowls that may fly above the earth, and the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which is in the waters, brought forth abundantly, and after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. 23, and the evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, and cattle, and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is in the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In the evening and morning were the sixth day. So land animals and now man in God's own image have been created. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and then he rested on the seventh day, and from his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from his works which he had created and made. God rested not absolutely, but from his particular creative works. Verse 4. And these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heaven. And so now we have seen today that the spoken word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, was God's plan from before the foundation of the world. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is your only hope of glory. No other hope whatsoever. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can just march right down to the front down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and rise to walk in newness of life. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who he says he is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, he can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
This program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.